You will turn to the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6. The book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6. We're calling tonight's lesson, Imperiling Ignorance. Imperiling Ignorance. A little background of Hosea. Hosea was one of the what they call the minor prophets of the Old Testament. And in verse 6 of chapter 4, Hosea writes these words. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou should be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, and I will also forget thy children. You know, Hosea preached about 7 centuries before Christ came upon on the earth for his ministry. During the time of Hosea's preaching to Israel, this was a time of political unrest in Israel. There was a time of impending doom from Assyrian captivity. In 25 years, Israel had 6 kings reign, 4 of which were murdered in office by successors, and the one was captured in battle. It was a time of social problems in that country. It was a time of serious spiritual problems among Israel's people. Therefore, God had a controversy with Israel. He had a problem with Israel. You notice in verse 1 of that chapter, it says, Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Does that sound like our land today? Sure does, doesn't it? That sounds like the country in which we live in today. What was the root of the problem? The problem was ignorance. Well, now, we have to understand there are 2 types of ignorance, or 2 kinds of ignorance. The first kind of ignorance is the natural kind of ignorance. It says people have had not the opportunity to know. You know, people hadn't had the opportunity maybe to go to college and acquire more knowledge. Tom Holland used to say, just because you went to college, that doesn't make you any better than anybody else. He said, just because that's just opportunity you have to further your education, but you have to use it in a practical way. But now let's look at the second kind of ignorance. And this is willful ignorance. This is when a person knows, but doesn't do. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, Peter addresses this problem of willful ignorance. He says, for this they willingly are ignorant of. He said they're willing to be ignorant. It's one thing not to know because you haven't been taught. It's another thing to be ignorant and because you're willing to be ignorant. He says that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. So we can see that there are people in Peter's day, there are people in our day who want to be ignorant of the Word of God. They do not want for us to teach them. They do not want for us to help them in their spiritual lives. So they are willfully being ignorant. Well, now tonight we're looking at 3 areas. The peril of ignorance is seen in the following 3 areas that we will look at. And it fits our country. It fit in the days of Hosea. It fits in our time. The first area is an area of immorality. Now, keep your Bibles open to Hosea chapter 4. We've already looked at verse 1. You remember he said in verse 1, because there's no truth, there's no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land. And then in verse 2, he says this is what they were doing. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. They didn't care. They didn't care about God. There was no knowledge of God at that point in the land of Israel. There's no knowledge of God in people today. There was no fear of God. Where there's no knowledge of God, there's no fear of God. Paul addressed this in Romans chapter 3, verse 18. He just simply says in that passage of Scripture, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And if there's no fear of God, then there's no obedience to God. And if there's no obedience to God, then people's lives are ruled by the fleshly lust of this life, which Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, is that road, which is the broad road, which leads to what? Destruction. And if it leads to destruction, then those people will be lost. And we have to watch it for ourselves, that we won't drift on that road and be lost. Because in Paul's day and in our day, there were no guidelines for morality. You hear Jim mention this morning about being politically correct. I hate that phrase, politically correct. I'd rather be godly correct through the Word of God. And y'all, I'd rather be godly correct. I'd rather be approved of God instead of man. When I'm Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 32. Now, I encourage you to read that later, but we're going to summarize that. Let's see, look at what Paul was talking about in that chapter. Verses 20 through 32, he pointed out that those people did not glorify God as God. He said those people were not thankful. He said those people rather worship men than God. He said those people practice homosexuality. Men with men and women with women. He says this was not right. This was not the natural. He said they did not like to retain God in their knowledge because it would maybe convert their soul to be saved. But these people still knew about the judgment of God, said Paul. And he said that since they knew about the judgment of God, they knew they was worthy of death. But in all this sinfulness that was going on in the days of Paul and in our day, he said these people take pleasure in doing these acts. You ever heard some people talk to you and say, oh, I did this and I did that? They brag about it, don't they? They brag about what they do. Now let's look at an illustration of how this works, how immorality works in people's lives. Now we've seen there are no guidelines for immorality in Paul's day. Now Paul's going to tell us how it works in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse began with verse 17 through verse 19. And in this passage of Scripture, he's going to talk about how people get away from God and how they do not want to return to God. Ephesians 4, 17 through 19. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord. He said, now what I'm about to say, I'm going to testify in the Lord. This is coming from the Lord. That ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity or the emptiness of their mind, he says. And he said, this is what they're doing. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated or separated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. See, there's willful ignorance. See the willful ignorance in that passage of Scripture? Who, being a past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. He said they have in the past been saved. He's talking to Christians. He said they've been in the past. They have been set in a saved condition. Now they've given themselves over to the works of the flesh. And he said, Paul said, this is how it works. They was ignorant of God's word. They was willfully ignorant of God's word. They were involved in sin to the extent that their knowledge of the word of God was of a past. It was just past feelings that they once had for God. But they don't have any more. Well, in the second area, let's look at the word idolatry. Idolatry. Now, let's look at Hosea chapter 4, verse 17. Now, he's going to talk about a tribe here, a tribe of Israel. And this tribe of Israel is Ephraim. And he says, Ephraim is joined to idols. And he said, let him alone. Now what Hosea is saying, he says, Ephraim, that people has chosen to serve idols. If that's what they've chosen, then God is not going to disturb them. Ephraim was a tribe of Israel. It was the largest of the northern tribes in Israel. But you know, when men reject God, they turn to worship of things. That's what Hosea is saying. He says they have given themselves to idols. They've given themselves to worship of things, not unto the God Almighty. You know, ignorance of God, what? Encourages devotion to secondary matters. You know, I can remember when I was growing up, people would come on a Sunday night and a Wednesday night, and I'm sure you all could too, to hear the Word proclaimed, to study the Bible. But today, people have too much to say. They have too much to do. And this shows. These secondary things that become primary in people's lives, that the Word of God gets squeezed out. Worship, Bible study gets squeezed out. Because they think that business and sports and personal luxury are more important than the study of the Word of God. I'm still studying with a lady that used to be my mother's roommate, Betty Barker. And she asked me, she says, "Thank you for coming over to study with me." I said, "I enjoy it." And she said, "I get a lot out of it." And she's doing better now than she was. But she told me the other night she appreciated me coming over. You know, and that's what we need to be doing. That's what we need to be doing. And because these other things, business, sports, personal luxury, are good in their own place. But the Word of God must be primary. The service to God must be primary. Covetousness, Paul says, is idolatry. We have the problem of covetousness today in our society. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Paul said, mortify. The word mortify means to put away. Put away, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And he outlines these members. He says, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, he says. So therefore, idolatry is an issue in the days of Hosea and in our day. People worship money, cars, houses, just things, more than service to God. In the third place, in the third area we're going to look at tonight, is inevitable doom to what happens to people that take this approach in life, that are immoral, that do practice idolatry. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 9, and there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. Ultimately, God will punish people from how they live. God will let anybody in this life live like they want to. He will. He's wanting everybody to be saved, but that doesn't mean they will. Israel had sown. In the past, things against God. They had sown by doing their own things, so to speak. Now, Hosea says they're ready to reap. They're ready to reap what they've sown. In Hosea chapter 8, now let's look at chapter 8, verse 7 now. In this book, he said, now this is what they're going to reap. He said, they've sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk. The bud shall yield no meal. And if so be, it yield. The strangers shall swallow it up. That was a law of sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping worked back in Hosea's day. It worked back in Paul's day. It works in our day. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, Paul said it worked in his day. He said, be not deceived. Don't let anybody tell you that this won't happen. He says, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Then he explains, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, eternal doom, inevitable doom. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Everlasting life, if you choose to sow to the Spirit. The law of sowing and reaping works in the natural and the moral realms of our society. Sin separates people from God. Sin has payment. It's going to have a payment one day. Sin has wages. We all like to get paid in jobs, which we have. But sin is going to have a payday too. But Paul said in Romans 6 and 23, we all know that passage. It says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. Does that mean just natural death? Or does that mean eternal death? Eternal death, doesn't it, Jim? It means eternal death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I love the latter. The latter end of that verse. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Israel, in the book of Hosea, was to experience physical death. Now look at chapter 13 and verse 16. And the prophet will tell Israel that it will experience physical death as well as spiritual death. Now, he says, he zeroes in on Samaria. He says, Samaria shall be desolate, for she shall have rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. The infants shall be dashed in pieces, the women with child shall be ripped up. Bad scene. But Hosea told Israel, this is what's going to happen because you have chose to willfully be ignorant of God's ways. Death in the end of time will be a separation from God. Right now, we've got the chance to get our lives right in the sight of God, everybody in this assembly. Right now, if your situation before God is not right, you got a chance tonight to make it right. But after you die, and after you go to judgment, and you stand before Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the ruler, and the judge of all judges, and you're separated from God, you're going to hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. And I know nobody in this assembly wants to hear those words. You know, all men are ignorant about some things. You know, we cannot know everything about all things. It's impossible. That's the reason we have Bible classes. That's the reason we share ideas, share thoughts. Because somebody may have a better thought than another person may have from the Word of God. However, this doesn't excuse us that we cannot know anything about anything. It doesn't excuse us not to know, not to be willfully ignorant. We must know about the truth. Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And that truth, we must know about our salvation before God. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, this is a passage which we alluded to earlier. It says, who will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth? God wants everybody to be saved and come to a knowledge, or what the word knowledge means to know what? To know what it's in the Word of God, to be obedient to the Word of God, and to be faithful to the Word of God, and come to a knowledge of that truth, and be consistent. And then people must know, what must they do? We must know what to do and maybe what not to do. But James points us that out in James chapter 1, verse 22. He just simply said, be ye doers of the word. Be ye active doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. He says, be doers of the word. Teach the word. Remember what Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And he says, this is what we're supposed to be doing. Doers of the word. And then that same book of James, chapter 4, 17. He says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. To him who knoweth to do good and who are willfully ignorant and does not do it, to him it is sin, said James. We must not be let ignorance, willful ignorance, take our lives and let that become dominant in our lives. And then we stand before Jesus at the judgment and say, well, Lord, I meant to do better. I meant to do better. I meant to teach. I meant to study your word more. You know, what we determine to do in our personal lives is what we normally do in our lives of service unto God. Don't be an individual with willful ignorance tonight. You never obeyed the gospel of Christ. You've heard the word of God. You heard that God wants you to be saved. He will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. You have the knowledge now tonight. You heard the word. You must believe it. You must repent. You must confess. You must be baptized for remission of your sins. Or maybe somebody here tonight that is not as close to God as they once were. Maybe you quit studying the word consistently. Maybe you quit praying to God consistently. And you won't get back and be a better servant for Him. He wants you to be a better servant. He wants you to be the best servant you can be for Him. Because He wants you, He needs you, and He needs you to proclaim this Bible, this word, to your friends, to your neighbors. And then, so that they can too be saved. If you have a need, respond to the invitation. We encourage you to come now as Jim leads us in the invitation song. Please stand. Well,